We continue our studies in Thessalonians, the second book, chapter 2. And we're dealing with the exhortation now of Paul for the encouragement of these persecuted Christians in this city of Thessalonica. We've been dealing with in our past lessons the coming of the Lord and the things which precede the coming of the Lord to the earth, not for the church, but to the earth, to reign. And now to encourage them, allow me to read again those verses 13 to 17. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the teaching which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now you'll notice that first of all, he encourages them on the ground that they are the beloved of the Lord. I'm repeating some things that I've said from a past lesson, but I do wish that Christians could realize that each one of us, in spite of our failures and failings and failures, that we are the objects of his love, whether you're a mature Christian or just a babe in Christ. Whether you're spiritual or whether you're not spiritual, if you really put your trust in the Savior and love him, you are the special objects of his love. Oh, how glad I am, that his love for me is not affected by my weaknesses and failures. It affects my fellowship, tis true. It affects my life, but never affects his love. He loves us right clean through to the end. He loves us until we stand in his presence conformed to the image of his Son. And then we read that we were chosen to salvation, verse 13, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now I'm going to stop right here. I mentioned in closing our last lesson that in Ephesians 1:4, we were chosen to be holy. In 1 Peter 2:9, we were chosen to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In John 15:16, he chose us to bear fruit and that our fruit should remain. In 2 Timothy 2:4, he chose us to be his soldiers. You remember he starts in verse 3, therefore, my beloved brethren, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why? To please him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. And then he has chosen us out of this world, as you have it in John 15:19, and especially in John chapter 17. We're in the world, we're not of the world. In fact, we have been delivered from this present evil world, as you have it in Galatians 1:4. And in Galatians chapter 6, 14 to 15 says, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world. So please notice, and I want to emphasize this, the honor, the privilege. He's not talking here about being chosen to salvation in the sense of what we speak of salvation. But he gives us the whole concept. We are chosen to be holy. What an honor to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Chosen by God to bear fruit that should remain. Chosen to be his soldiers. Chosen out of this world. Angels would delight to have the privilege that you and I have as Christians. We do not read that the Lord chose angels to show forth his praise, or to bring forth fruit, or to be his soldiers, or to be taken out of the world. No, That's for you and me. And God chose that before the foundation of the Lord. This was the purpose of God when he made man. Allow me to do this. He made man in his own image and his own likeness with gifts which no other being in the universe has. And man rebelled. Man listened to Satan. Eve was deceived. Man was not deceived. And the result is that we've had a history of mankind has been one of sinfulness, lawlessness, cruelty, wars, you name it. Sorrow, suffering, death. This is the fruitage of sin. Now, has God changed his plan? Certainly not. So God made provision for men and women to be transformed. And God determined that everyone who would put their trust in his Son, Jesus Christ, he would choose them, sets them apart as holy and beloved of God. He sets them apart to bear fruit that should remain. He chooses us to be his soldiers, to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, not to be entangled with the affairs of this life. We might please him who hath chosen us to be his soldiers. He's chosen us out of this world. What for? That we might display something of the character of God in his love, in his devotion, in his grace toward men and women. I wish in some way I could put into the words the way I feel about this. The honor and the privilege of every Christian, whether you are a babe in Christ or whether you're 60, 70, 80 years of age and you've loved the Savior for 40, 50, 60 years, whether you're a mature Christian or an immature Christian, God, in his wonderful, wonderful grace, has chosen you. He's allowed you to stay in the world, to bring forth fruit unto his glory through our word, through our actions, our attitude, our testimony. We might exalt the precious Savior before men and women. It's our job. This is our precious responsibility and honor and privilege. And I just say to you Christians, as I say to myself, if God has done this, and he planned this from the beginning, my, what a privilege, what an honor he has bestowed upon you and me to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he chose us from the beginning. The beginning of what? Well, you remember, there are three books in the Bible that talks about beginnings. For example, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, we read in the very first verse, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made, created by him, and so on. This is before creation. You are the Son of God with the Father before there ever was a world made. And then in Genesis chapter 1, the first verse, I read, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then in 1 John 1:1, we read that which was from the beginning. And this has to do with the incarnate Word of God. So you take the three of them. In point of time, John 1 comes first. Then comes Genesis 1:1, creation. Then comes the incarnate Word of God in 1 John 1:1. Or if I might do this, to kind of whet your appetites for Bible study, take the Gospel through John, the very first chapter. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Before there was any creation, the Lord was there, the eternal Son of God. Or should I say, God the Son. In verse 3 of John 1, you have, all things were made by him. That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This is 1 John 1:1, where John writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have handled, the Word of life, speaking of our Savior. I just mention this in passing. And quite often the Apostle Paul speaks of something that happened before the casting out of the world. And God did something for us that we do not at all deserve. I tell you, What do you deserve from God? Nothing. Neither do I. What we have is entirely on the ground of the wonderful, wonderful grace of God. But he didn't stop there. Not only did God from the beginning choose us to salvation, but how? Through sanctification of the Spirit. Now this is the channel. Sanctification of Spirit and the belief of the truth. This is the method used in manifesting the fact he's going to have a people for his name. Now this word sanctification, as you know, means to be set apart. Just like you have it in John 17:17-19, where Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so send I them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they in turn might be sanctified through the truth. It's being set apart for God. And the Spirit of God takes us as believers, and he sets us apart for God himself. This is the channel which God uses, set apart for God. Isn't it wonderful? At the very moment you and I, as sinners, accepted the Savior, he set us apart for God. Set us apart not only for relationship with God, not only to spend eternity with God, but set apart to belong to a special company who will be in eternity, in unbroken, eternal, wonderful fellowship with the living God, to enjoy to the full that divine love which has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The human mind can't begin, at least my mind can't begin, to comprehend the wonders that God has in store for us, and he set us apart by his Spirit. Not by some work you and I do. The moment you and I accepted the truth, the belief of the truth, the Spirit of God set us apart for himself. I tell you, it's a wonderful thing to know that we've been set apart for God. That through eternity, God is going to be able to shower upon us, face to face, shower upon us the wonders of his love and the marvels of his grace. And eternity is not going to be long enough, if one were to use the term, long enough for God to display all his love and all his grace and all his tenderness upon his people. Oh, what blessed people we are. What an honored people we are. Please don't go around with your head down because you're a Christian. Remember your relationship to the eternal God. He set you apart by the Spirit of God. What else? And by the belief of the truth. This is how we come into this position, to the belief of the truth. You see, you've got the place of the Spirit of God and the place of the Word of God. Here you have personal responsibility to the truth. Now, these Thessalonians had turned to God from their idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven. They had received the truth as God gave it to them through the Apostle Paul. As the second chapter of their first epistle said, you received our word as it was in very truth, the word of God. And they believed the word of God. They accepted the word of God. And this is your responsibility and my responsibility. And I again repeat it, my friend. Every man and woman, every one of you listening to my voice, have the capacity either to accept or to reject Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Our Lord could say in John chapter 5, how I would have... You claim to believe the Scriptures. You do search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. His word still stands. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You have the capacity to believe. Friend, there's no merit in believing truth. As I said a while ago, we don't deserve anything. We deserve the very opposite from what God is offering. But nevertheless, he does offer it to us. That's why I say today to the belief of the truth. No wonder Isaiah could put it this way in Isaiah 53:1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? To those who believe the report. You take in our Lord's day. Here's a leper who came running to the Savior, quoting from Mark 1. And he said to Jesus, if you want to, you can make me whole. And Jesus, looking upon him, had compassion upon him and laid hold of him and said, I will, be thou clean. How did the leper come to Jesus? He just heard a report. As you know, people had nothing to do with lepers. Lepers stayed in the leper colony. If anyone came within a certain distance, he had to cry out, unclean. Now, in some way, the wonderful story of Jesus had trickled through into the leper colony. And this leper believed that Jesus of Nazareth was curing lepers, was cleansing lepers. And he went out to find Jesus. And he ran to Jesus and said, if you want to, you can make me clean. How was this man cleansed from his leprosy? Why, you say Jesus laid hold of him. Ah, but friend, why did Jesus lay hold of him? Because the man believed a report, and he acted on the report. I tell you that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm telling you some good news, that God has made it possible for men and women to pass from death to life, to be cleansed from their sin, an incurable disease called sin. And our Lord is an expert at cleansing people from sin. But how do you get to him? Believe the report. He says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Why don't you come? You see, friend, it's not on God's part, it's on your part. He's made all the provision. He's the one who says, come. Are you going to obey him? Or are you going to be stubborn and stay away? I repeat it. God chose us from the beginning to bear fruit. The Spirit of God sets us apart for God as a special relationship and ministry. But there must be your part, the belief of the truth. It's a wonderful thing to realize this, that the Father and the Son and the Spirit of God has a part in your redemption. Now, we had this in Ephesians 1. The Lord God the Father chose us to be holy. The Lord Jesus Christ redeems us. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And then in verses 13 and 14, the Spirit of God seals those who believe. The Father and the Son and the Spirit, each one have a distinct place in our redemption. You have the same thing in the book of Hebrews 10. You have the will of the Father, the obedience of the Son, even unto sacrifice, and then you have the witness of the Spirit. Isn't it wonderful that the whole Godhead, Father, Son, and Spirit, is not only vitally interested in the salvation of men and women, but each one has done a perfect work. All God asks you and me to do is to receive it. My friend, what else can you do? People who are dead in trespasses and sins, what can they do? What can sinners do? My friend, just please stop your deadly doing. Stop trying to be religious and just receive what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, guaranteed to you in his resurrection and exaltation. And you can be saved and set apart by God today by just accepting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Now, I know I've sidetracked, but I just feel keenly led of the Spirit of God to tell you folk, some of you folk who have been hearing the gospel all your life, and you'll acknowledge intellectually the things that I have said, but have you personally received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Are you trusting him as the one who died to put away your sin by the sacrifice of himself? Now you do that today. He's still saying to you, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Now why don't you come? He just arms outstretched, waiting for you to come. It's not that you're waiting for God. God's waiting for you. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of your acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And brother, that takes you in. Why don't you accept him and be saved?